with what you're being put through. It's just time to pay the price, not listening to advice, deciding in your youth on the policy of truth.
Thank you, Senator Broxton, Representative Andretti, and Representative Salzman.
Okay, I I don't want to be cruel to mayor, new mayor of Century, Luis Gomez Jr., but the tip for me is, if you're going to go address the legislative delegation, your senator and your state representatives, get one of the names right. Look, I know all of them have, you know, sort of a variety. Representative Andrade in particular is the hard one, because I've heard no less than six different pronunciations of his name. People always get his wrong. But it's Salzman, not Salzman, and it's Broxton, not Broxton. And then, you know, Andrade is, I mean, come close, right? This one's pretty close. But still, when you're the new mayor of Century and you're going to just talk to them and, you know, say hi, which is good. Okay, which is good. Ask somebody how you say their names.
Thank you, Senator Broxton, Representative Andretti, and Representative Salzman.
So, now that doesn't have anything to do with anything else, but Luis Gomez Jr. was just there at the legislative delegation meeting last week to introduce himself.
I just mainly came tonight to introduce myself. I'm the new mayor of Century, Florida, the most northern city in Escambia County.
Yeah, I mean, what is it, 45 minutes to drive from Century downtown to PSC? You know, that's, I mean, he did a good thing. He came and said hi. That was good. And he acknowledged,
we have a few issues. I've only been mayor for about a month.
We have a few issues. You think? Yeah, for sure. Century does.
We have a few issues. I've only been mayor for about a month, so I'm a little wobbly. But I do want to ask for your continued support and let you know that Century is open for business.
Again, that's good. That's good. Okay. So Senator Broxton, who is in his final term, he will be done next year because he's term limited out with, you know, that's how it works in both the House and the Senate. But, you know, there's 8 years, and then there's some issues with, you might get extra 2 years depending on how the redistricting goes, but, or how the, how redistricting. But anyway, so he's done next year, and here's what he had to say.
Mayor, let me say something, because I've been dealing with Century for 14 years, and I know you've had tremendous challenges there. Your tax base is very low, and your needs are very great. I can tell you that this delegation has doubled down on trying to help Century.
Thank you, sir.
I know that.
And that's good. They have tried very hard for it, and he's appreciative of that. And you kind of, you know, they don't talk back to the people a lot. It's not a question and answer session. And there was even one time when, I don't remember, one of the guys wanted to, you know, get an answer on some policy point from, you know, everybody. And Michelle is so sweet. She just says, this isn't really a Q&A. You get to say your piece, and then, you know, that's it. We're here to hear from you. So even though there were times I wish they would have talked back more, or I wish they would have engaged, because I think both in Santa Rosa particularly, where all this misunderstanding about the voting machines, oh my goodness, they're not on the internet. How many times can somebody say something that's just patently false, that these the machines are not on the internet? Anyway, I wish somebody would have corrected them once in a while. But in any case, okay, in any case, you know, you're about to hear from Senator Broxton, and since he didn't talk much during the meeting, you would imagine it's pretty serious what he's about to say.
But we really, we're praying for you. We know you have a big challenge. We want you to do well, but we know you're in tough circumstances. And I would hope that at some point, if things continue where you're, it's a challenge to meet your budget, that you would consider a de-chartering Century so you could come under the umbrella of Escambia County and let them take their resources and help you with some of your major problems.
Good for you. Good for you, Senator. Listen, I think the senator was sort of too nice about it. Now, he does not have the authority to tell them to do anything. That's the point of being, you know, incorporated. But 1,700 people live in the town of Century. And they can't ever figure anything out. I don't mean like the whole population is a mess. I mean like, you know, they can't get people to run for office. The people they do get quit. There's problems. There's just, I don't pay a lot of attention to Century because I think it's a very small number of people. And it's out of our listening area, frankly. You know, we talk about Navarre because people in Navarre can hear us. We don't talk about a lot about Century because even though it's in the county, it's like, yeah, you know, it's a long way up there. But Century's a hot mess. And it's been a hot mess for a long time. And they don't have any money. So you legitimately ask the question, would they be better off disincorporating or dechartering, as he called it? And I think the answer is not just like, you know, hey, if you continue to have some struggles, maybe you might want to think about this. I think the answer is, you know, we're past due for this. But again, I mean, he's, you know, he can't really say that to them, you know, say you should have done this 5 years ago. But kudos to him for saying it to the mayor who drove all the way down just to say hi and mispronounce people's names. sorry, it's irrelevant, but it's just funny. Things are funny to me. And then, you know, Broxson says, look, hey, man, just, you know, put this in your hat to kind of consider. You're the new mayor, and there is an idea you might want to think about.
I've watched it. I know you tried, but we really need to have a more a bigger hand to help you get to where you need to be. So God bless you for being here, and we're doing the best we can under the circumstances.
Thank you, sir, for having me.
Again, 1,700 people, just for, like, perspective, is that even a census tract in Pensacola? And not that Pensacola's a huge metropolis, you know, but 55,000 people. That's a city, right? Perdido, 30-ish? You know, Navarre, potentially 30-ish, you know. 1,700 people. You would not incorporate Century if it were not incorporated already today. By the way, I did not know this, and, you know, I'm always learning stuff that I don't know. We've only lived here 9 years. I certainly can't know everything. Century only incorporated in, like, the 40s, I think 45, but it was the town of South Flomaton. I didn't know that. And then they changed the name, and then they added some territory, and they became the town of Century in the 80s sometime. So, yeah, kudos again for Doug Broxson for mentioning this directly to the mayor's face. Like, hey, you know, glad you're here. You ever think about voluntarily unemploying yourself? You know, like that's basically what he's saying, right? 518 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Meanwhile, Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu gives a big dramatic speech yesterday in which he talks about, you know, the Bible says there's a time for peace and a time for war, and does say that. There's a time for both, and this is not a time for peace. This is not a time to give up or surrender or really to end the hostilities. That's the ongoing complaint slash cry from certain sectors, is that Israel needs to just stop and call a ceasefire. And he says,
just as the United States would not agree to a ceasefire after the bombing of Pearl Harbor or after the terrorist attack of 9/11, Israel will not agree to a cessation of hostilities with Hamas after the horrific attacks of October 7th. Calls for a ceasefire are calls for Israel to surrender to Hamas, to surrender to terrorism.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that analysis. There will be a time when it's appropriate, but they've only just begun the sort of the ground invasion, right? So they've only just started that, and you know, the time for calling a ceasefire is not yet. Let's say not yet. 437-1620, 437-1620. That's my phone number if you want to text me. I'm Andrew McKay.
Some days, my active psoriatic arthritis makes it hard to get in the game. Now, the ball is in my court. Thanks to treating my skin and joints with SkyRizi, Risankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults. Nothing is everything. SkyRizi helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SkyRizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about SKYRIZI and visit SKYRIZI.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. The UWF Historic Trust is hosting the third annual Bootleg Ball event on Friday, January 12, 2024. Join Wendy Davis on the Pensacola Expert Panel and learn how to support the Historic Trust while having a roaring good time. Tune in this Thursday at 9 a.m. to learn more about the Bootleg Ball. That's this Thursday on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3 reminds you that hurricane season is underway. Forecasters are predicting another above normal year for storms. And the Generator Guys are your local generator provider. Are you prepared? Don't be caught without power for days or even weeks. When the storm hits, you should be 1 week ready. And the News Radio 92.3 crew will be live and local with storm coverage on your radio, on your phone, and online. News Radio 92.3 and the Generator Guys are there for you.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 after Pensacola, right now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I feed you, I clean you, I dress you, and what thanks do I get? Better start showing me a little more appreciation around here, Mr. Man.
Trick or treat, baby, on a night like this. Trick-or-treat, whoa, whoa, and that means a kiss. Trick-or-treat, baby, and don't let me miss a sweet kiss from you on a night like this. Trick-or-treat, baby.
You know, everybody's got their movies that they think are scary or that portray scary things. Kathy Bates in Misery is pretty horrifying. See, I think those kind of horror movies are more scary than the typical, you know, the slasher movies or even the jump scare kind of movies. It's the cruelty of human beings that is, or the crazy of human beings that always got me, because, you know, like, man, that could be my neighbor. You know, that's the kind of thing. I'm your biggest fan. Ah! 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Happy Halloween. It's cold. I mean, it's nice. This is nice. It'll be colder. It's going to get down to, you know, into the 30s overnight next couple of nights. So welcome to November, I guess. It will be tomorrow. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The White House says they're now taking action to combat the alarming rise in anti-Semitic incidents on college campuses after the outbreak of war between Israel and Hamas. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the Departments of Justice and Homeland Security are now partnering with campus police and local law enforcement at many colleges and universities to address threats. A judge ordering federal agents to stop cutting razor wire at the southern border. In a ruling yesterday, a U.S. district judge granted a temporary restraining order that bans the federal government from handling and dismantling the wire installed in Eagle Pass, Texas.
That's amazing. I mean,
isn't Texas it crazy that even had to happen, though?
Well, you know, the critics will say, well, it's up to the U.S. to enforce its border. And if they won't, I mean, Texas just like, no, come on in. Can't get the feds to fix the lock on this door, so we can't lock it, you know. And then they fix it, and then the feds break the lock again. And they fix it, and then the feds break the lock. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is unbelievable. Go ahead, David. Sorry, I just can't. The story's crazy to me.
Well, and another thing in that case, the only exception to that temporary restraining order is in the case of a medical emergency on, you know, one of the migrants or something like that. And there's another trial going on right now involving former President Donald Trump. This one's in Colorado, and it's to determine whether he can be kept off of their 2024 ballot. Lawyers for the group that filed the lawsuit accused Trump of supporting an insurrection. They believe he should be prohibited from running in future elections under the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. Trump's lawyers dismiss that as being anti-democratic and a weak argument. That trial expected to last through the week.
Yeah, this is really fascinating, David. Thank you so much for the update. This is something we had brought up and talked about quite a bit before. The genuine question that is being asked, because we are people who care about the Constitution, right? The genuine question being asked is whether the provision in the 14th Amendment that was intended originally to prohibit former members of the Confederacy, right, people who raised arms or aided those who raised arms against the United States of America, would be prohibited from holding federal office, senators or representatives. It doesn't specifically say president, vice president. It says elector. They can't be electors of president, vice president. So this was meant to prohibit people from the Confederacy from becoming, you know, members of Congress. And the problem is that the language and, of course, it wasn't really implemented for, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody's ever actually been. There were some cases that involved this question, but it's been, you know, over 100 years since anybody even looked at it. But the question is, did President Trump's actions or inactions, did his words or lack of decisive behaviors constitute the definition of engaging in insurrection, right? That's the question. And, I mean, it's a question. It's a question. If you say yes, and see, some people are so, you know, oh, yeah, obviously he did. But, of course, what Trump's lawyers contend is that he was exercising his free speech rights to warn about election results and that, you know, it doesn't fit the definition of insurrection. And it was never meant even to apply to the office of president, because if they meant it to, then president should have been mentioned in the text. And president and vice president are not mentioned specifically, only the electors of the president. You know, so this is not a clear-cut case, and that's why it's the kind of thing that's likely to take a Supreme Court ruling on this. You know, it's in Colorado right now, but it's likely to take a Supreme Court ruling to decide, well, is the application of the 14th Amendment appropriate here as a disqualifier for former President Trump in running for the office of president? Now, you also have other wrinkles, like states run their elections. And, you know, what would happen if a red state, I mean, Colorado's a blue state. So what would happen if a red state, let's say, imagine that this works its way through the courts and, you know, ahead of the election, the Supreme Court comes to the decision, no, the 14th Amendment disqualifies former President Trump, which is pretty unlikely given the composition of the court, frankly, right? Pretty unlikely. But they are constitutionalists. They are supposed to care about the Constitution, and so are we. And so is the Republican Party. But let's say that was the rule. How many red states governed by Republicans would be like, oh, okay, sure, this guy's out? And what if they didn't agree with the Supreme Court? Blue states might say yes, but, you know, blue states were going for Biden anyway. Who cares? What's the point? How does it matter? So, assuming that it's Biden versus Trump next year. So, you've got a lot of sort of theoretical questions. You've got a lot of practical concerns. And then you have this general issue of whenever there's an uncertainty about democracy, who gets to be on the ballot, who's allowed, those kinds of questions, you typically err in the direction of letting the people decide. And so the error here, if you're going to have it as an error, would be to say, let them be on the ballot and let people decide what they want to do. Now, I know the argument on the other side is, and I guess it's argument on the same side, but, you know, Trump defenders will say, well, if the people want him, who are you to stand in the way? Well, okay, but remember, the Constitution prohibits people under the age of 35 from running for president. It prohibits people who are not natural-born citizens from running for president. And you say, well, who are you to stand in the way of Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, being president? And who are you to stand in the way of some 32-year-old, you know, just whiz-bang, everybody loves him or her, becoming president? You know, just because the people want a thing doesn't mean the Constitution allows it. And so the people who are saying this is all just political theater, I mean, certainly there are some who are doing this because they think it's a political, you know, it's a way to thwart Trump. But there's a live question about the meaning of this portion of the Constitution related to him. There are real concerns about whether it does, and there are real concerns about the practical implementation. It's not as easy as, well, we want him, and therefore we should be allowed to vote for him. I mean, you know, what if he ran for a third term? Well, the people want him. It doesn't matter. The Constitution doesn't allow it. You see, there are limits on that, so just be consistent in your arguments.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The Israeli Defense Forces say it dealt a major blow to Hamas.
They say they took out Nassim Abu Ajina, a commander in Hamas's northern brigades. They say that he was responsible for directing, as they put it, some of the attacks of October 7th, attacks that were launched from the northern part of the Gaza Strip.
Fox's Jonathan Hunt in Jerusalem. He just said no to a ceasefire against the terror group in Gaza. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu rejects calls to pause the military operation as the IDF says it struck more than 300 Hamas targets in the past 24 hours. U.S. troops in the Middle East under fire again. Sources telling Reuters two armed drones target Iraq's Ain al-Assad air base. No reports of casualties or damage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3, and happy Halloween. It's 53 degrees, a nice, cool morning today. The Pensacola dentist convicted of inappropriately touching an employee and several patients will now be sentenced early next year on a perjury charge. Channel 3 reports that Charles Stamatolis pleaded no contest to felony perjury yesterday. He'll be sentenced January 11th. During the legal proceedings over his battery case this last January, Stamatolis violated terms of release by going to Mobile to buy a car. He then lied about that, initially saying he had an emergency. This week, the House is expected to vote on an aid package for Israel rather than a combined bill for both Israel and Ukraine. Congressman Matt Gaetz says that is just one example of the differences between House Speaker Mike Johnson and Kevin McCarthy.
He's going to work us Bayou hours because he's from Louisiana, and we're probably going to ditch the French work week that has governed the Congress for far too long. So that's the way to get individual amendments considered that might drive down pressure on spending.
And Gaetz was an outspoken critic of McCarthy, particularly his penchant for continuing resolutions rather than single subject bills. Gaetz says in the 36 hours since Johnson took the gavel, the House had already passed one, something McCarthy did once in his 7 months. Well, Pensacola State College cut the ribbon on a new math and advanced technology center building yesterday.
We're here today to celebrate a decade-long goal of replacing the oldest building on campus with new programs like cybersecurity. So important to have advanced technology and cybersecurity in this building.
That is PSC President Dr. Ed Meadows, and he says that building is being built in two different phases. The building named after four donors that collectively donated over $1 million for STEM-related scholarships at the college. The building named the Bear Jones Moore Reeves Center for Math and Advanced Technology. Governor Ron DeSantis maybe losing his grip as the top challenger to Donald Trump in the Republican primary. A new poll released yesterday shows Trump leading the Iowa caucus with 43% of the vote. The Des Moines Register NBC News Iowa poll shows that DeSantis and former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley are now tied for second at 16%. DeSantis down 3% from the last poll 2 months ago. Haley up 10 points since then. On the bright side for Governor DeSantis, he does have the highest net favorability rating of all the candidates at plus 43%. Trump is plus 34, Haley plus 30. That caucus set for January 15th. It's 5:34 right now, News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a cold front that has moved through, keeping things nice and chilly for Halloween. 62 degrees for your high today, partly cloudy skies, lows tonight dropping into the 40s. As you go into Wednesday, waking up very chilly, we will have sunny skies, high near 60 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 42. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. Right now, 53 in Pensacola, 55 in Gulf Breeze, and it's 54 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
War breaks out between Israel and Hamas.
Starting with our top three stories today, the latest in Israel is Hamas released two hostages.
A Milton couple who was in Israel when the Hamas attacks began has arrived back home safely.
When we were leaving,
Governor DeSantis says it's important to stand with Israel.
Most of the deaths of our own servicemen.
We're pursuing every avenue to bring their loved ones home.
I got to give the president credit for
keeping you informed with a local emphasis.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. For almost a decade, I've been telling you about my friends at Frontier Motors in Pensacola. The biggest reason is they help my listeners save thousands of dollars when purchasing a slightly used car over a brand new one. Consumer Reports says the average new car depreciates a whopping $9,200 in the first year alone. That's crazy. So if you're thinking new, don't. Go see Frontier Motors and see how much they can save you on a current year car with very low miles. And if your goal is to get out of debt, bring Frontier Motors your car and they can write you a check on the spot. Frontier Motors can also do consignments and they don't charge a fee or a commission. Frontier Motors have been helping the people in the Pensacola area for 21 years. They are the go-to dealer for free advice when it comes to buying or selling a car. Please go see my friends at Frontier Motors. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey sent you.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks. Rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center. Or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at Play P. Cola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
Hey, it's Gambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. of the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, 9 to 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from its slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash from my laboratory in the castle.
As far as our priorities go, our number one priority, of course, is the Beulah Interchange. We know it's number one in the strategic intermodal system with a TPO. However, it has slipped out of the top five work plan for the FDOT. So our big ask would be to exert some influence and see if we can get it moved back up to the top five. That would, it's a very, very important project for us for a number of reasons, to help us move traffic and also to help us with OLF 8 in advertising and marketing that piece of property. So that would be our number one.
This is Wes Moreno, the county administrator, of course, for Escambia County, at the Escambia Legislative Delegation meeting last week, giving the top priorities for the county. And the first one, the big one, the one again and again, is the Beulah Interchange, interconnecting Beulah to I-10. It's supposed to happen, but it's kind of like we thought it was going to get put in the five-year plan, then it didn't get put in the five-year plan. So the question is, was it going to get put in the five-year plan for this year? You know, because that's the way FDOT works. If it doesn't get in the five-year plan, then it doesn't get into the 4-3-2. You know, it doesn't ever get done. And so if they're pushing it off, and it is a very expensive project, but, all the work that has been done in order to get us to this point, including the road swap and everything else. And as Wes mentioned, this is a very important project for Escambia County, an essential roads project for Escambia County, and also a big, it's not, I don't want to say it's essential for OLF 8 to happen, but kind of, it's a dramatic change in the appeal of the outlying Field 8 there on the west, on 9 Mile, just to the west side of Navy Federal. that we've gone through all of this trouble to acquire and to try to develop. And, of course, you know, we had an offer, and then that kind of fell apart, and then other offers have kind of come and gone, and nothing's really panned out just yet. And there's always the chance. I think you have to be realistic. There's always the chance that OLF 8 is still OLF 8 in 10 years. I mean, look at the tech park. It can happen. We don't think that's very likely, but certainly the appeal of, you know, light industrial coming to that location is different if there's no direct interstate access out the back, the way there is direct interstate access out the front. But that's a big deal, especially, you know, at shift change and with all the traffic and the growth coming to Beulah and everything else. And, you know, there's all kinds of other factors involved, but he's right. This is a big deal. And, you know, the TPO, the Florida-Alabama Transportation Planning Organization, of which, you know, Escambia and Santa Rosa and Gulf Breeze and Century and Pensacola and Baldwin County are all members. They know it's a big project. And FDOT's like, well, you know, so just that's a good thing to keep pressing on. Number two.
Number two is the Live Florida Act. We have some concerns there that that preemption will prevent us from being able to control development in commercial and industrial areas. I think that will be a concern throughout the state.
Yeah, this is the one, remember, this is the one that the committee actually had to do a little bit with why the OLF-8 deal fell apart. I mean, that's not the only thing, but there that was a factor, is the real concern, and I think commissioners were right about this, that even if you implement a zoning that says it's supposed to be light industrial or commercial in some of these areas, well, the Live Local Act says that you can basically, I think it's also commercial, I know for sure it's industrial, but it basically says that because of the housing shortage in the state of Florida, local municipalities or counties cannot prevent housing from being built. So somebody can go buy an industrial zone property and just build houses. I think they don't even have to ask permission because nobody can stand in their way. So they may just be able entitled by the law to be able to do it. So it supersedes zoning. And, I mean, it's a crazy act, really. I understand the motive for it, wanting to make sure that there's available housing in the state. But the problem with that is if you take something like an OLF-8 that is meant to create jobs and then have other stuff also, and instead you say, well, here's where we're going to have the light industrial parts of that property, and somebody can come in and be like, ah, screw that, we're building homes. Well, you can't sell that to them with that zoning, because then they can do it. So instead they want to hold it back within county ownership and make it more of like a light industrial park that the county owns, because if the county owns it, then the county cannot, you know, the builder can't just force them to build houses. They can't come in and build houses on it. So that's been, you know, a little factor in, you know, hickeying up the OLF-8 deal. But more, it's just kind of this, wow. And this was a very sweeping proposal to make people be able to build houses anywhere in the state as long as they're in an industrial. That's just wild that that was done. And then the third one that he wants to do, or the third one the county wants to do.
Our number three is the Pensacola Beach Gateway Project, which would include the removal of the toll plaza, redesign of the parkway going into the beach. We've done a lot of work on Pensacola Beach, and so this would be our last biggest enhancement there.
So that's and I will be frank with you. I'm not sure I really understand the significance of this project. You know, I know Commissioner Bender's, you know, he's always got a reason for whatever he's doing, you know, and it's to beautify the approach to the beach and, you know, eliminate the toll booth, which the toll booth serves no purpose anymore. There's, you know, I mean, it houses the toll collecting stuff, but that can be done at the gateway as well. It's not going to eliminate the toll if you're thinking that, oh, they're getting rid of the toll booth. They're getting rid of the toll. Not the same thing. Getting rid of the toll booth, keeping the toll. Especially because, you know, the toll, which was originally implemented to pay for the bridge, and the bridge has long been paid for, but there's a new bridge going to have to come. We don't talk much about that, but it's true. They're not just rebuilding, they're going to have to rebuild the Navarre Causeway. They didn't just have to rebuild the 3 Mile Bridge, but they are going to have to rebuild Bob Sykes Bridge. And the question, where's the money going to come for that? Well, I thought they were putting all this away towards that. Well, you know, shoulda, coulda, woulda, but okay. So this is kind of a beautification slash streamlining process. And what I'm assuming will also serve the purpose of, you know, people not slowing down going through the toll like they do right now because they think you've got to slow down. And I was just driving out to the beach the other day, and somebody from out of town, typical, they slow down to 5, you know, because like, am I supposed to drive? Which it's understandable. You know, you don't typically just whiz through a toll booth. And so they're confused. And so that causes, you know, wrinkles in the traffic. And these are problems. So anyway, those are the things that the county is asking for. I will say this. There is a piece going back a bit to the Beulah Interchange. There is a piece about this that is... the commissioners, they did a good thing to get the property. They have been doing a good thing, in at least so far, holding true to the master plan. There's something a little bit odd about building a site or creating a site where you can have construction for jobs, but the ability to actually market that site being so dependent on a long-term plan with outside agencies like FDOT to interconnect to the expressway. Because it's kind of every step that depends on somebody else becomes a little bit more hope and change, right? It becomes a little bit more aspirational rather than realistic. And, you know, I don't think there's any reason the Buell Interchange wouldn't get built. But it's, you know, when you claim that your whole project depends on that, well, you know, okay. 437-1620, 437-1620. I was just looking at something here. Had somebody text me at 437-1620 saying that it's probably has more to do with maybe the funding they're thinking or, you know, where the funding is going to come from. Because you've got this, like, the Move Florida Forward funding that's paying for things like the Diverging Diamond, you know, at, which one is it? Let's see, 9 Mile, I think. Because there's supposed to be one at Pine Forest and then the roundabout at Pine Forest and 297A. Yeah, the 9 Mile one is supposed to become a Diverging Diamond. And I'm, you know, that would be the other intersection right there with the interstate. And so you got to kind of be careful that, you know, you don't want to upend the existing, is, you know, kind of my interpretation. You don't want to upend the existing interchange when you don't have another one to replace it yet. So maybe, I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud on the radio that maybe there's something related to that. 546 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, and by the way, there was this kind of, I don't know if I should play this now or save it for later, but there was this really cute moment because Alex Andrade is our state representative. And, you know, Wes, who loves nothing more than to get up and do public speaking, as in he hates it. He comes on my show every week, but he hates public speaking. He's gotten so much better at it. But, you know, he's a Rhodes guy. He wants to build stuff. He doesn't want to talk to the press. He doesn't want to talk to public. He doesn't want to get on a microphone under any circumstance if he can avoid it. That's his personality, right? And so I thought it was kind of adorable. I'm going to play this for him on Thursday, but I'm going to embarrass him. But Alex Andrade told this really adorable story about him in terms of, like, who he is, and I know this is true from my interaction with him as well.
If I could just say a few words about Wes Moreno. I told him I would embarrass him for a second. About 2 months ago, a young man called me after 5 p.m. on a weekday and said, our house just got condemned. I'm at the library downtown, and my mom and siblings are at McDonald's, and we don't have a place to stay tonight. And I called Alex Smith at the city and Wes Moreno at the county, and within an hour, Wes had coordinated with City Councilwoman Allison Patton to get this family into a hotel for 2 nights and then worked into a shelter that the county and city were supporting. And that's just one example, one small example of something where our local officials went above and beyond on very short notice. It's deeply appreciated, and I couldn't be prouder to represent this community.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I told you that they don't talk back during these meetings very much, and I thought that was a very sweet thing of him to say out loud and to super embarrass, I'm sure, Wes Moreno, who is never going to love to have something like that said out loud about him, but it is true. 548 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Make sure you tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 to hear about the big performance the Pensacola Civic Band is having at the Sanger Theater on November 11th. As part of the Foo Foo Fest, you'll get all the scoop of the on-Broadway show featuring star Megan Hilty, known for her Broadway performances like Wicked and Smash. Get all the info on Broadway star Megan Hilty and the Pensacola Civic Band on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3, we'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home of the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, Thanksgiving, holiday hours, Angelina's champagne dinner, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
More news, more talk with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on at 11, right after the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had a one long horn.
Good morning, 551 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And, you know, even though we did say it many times, I know not everybody listens every single moment of every single day. Jake is the producer of the morning show. Candy had to leave to take care of her husband and do some stuff with him in the morning. She just couldn't be here every day. So I know. I know.
I'm not Candy.
That's exactly right. And no, we did not get a divorce or anything. She is our, like, one of my best friends in the whole wide world. And
she's,
you know,
amazing, really.
And she'll be here to fill in and take care when Jake is not or whatever. So, yep. But do people ask, and I always answer. You know, you can always ask questions. 437-1620, 437-1620. That's the text number. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Israel's prime minister says a ceasefire with Hamas would be a surrender to Israel. Speaking to the nation yesterday, Benjamin Netanyahu said that he'd committed to bringing the hostages home and says Israeli forces have been going out of their way to avoid civilian casualties since their ground incursion into Gaza. A judge now ordering federal agents to stop cutting razor wire at the southern border. That was yesterday. U.S. District Judge granting a temporary restraining order banning the federal government from destroying wire installed in Eagle Pass, Texas. The only exception there would be a medical emergency. And good news, I guess, gas prices are falling nationwide. Experts predicting they're going to fall even more in the next couple of weeks. The Energy Department says the average price nationwide is down 6 cents over the last week.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Now, Jake, I know you're not in the dating pool. I know David's not in the dating pool. And I haven't been in the dating pool for 27 years. I don't know. It's been a while. I'm still kind of and every year I think, oh, thank the Lord. Like, I cannot imagine trying to do that. But I saw this story the other day, and it was this was really popular on social media. This was one of those, like, Reddit things that kind of grew much wider appeal. The 28 places that no sensible woman in her right mind would ever allow herself to go on a first date, or at least if she did, you know, there'd be no second date. And so this whole list, this is, I think it was not on Twitter, or not on Reddit. It was a Facebook thing that got to Twitter anyway. this list, this is one of the craziest things I have ever seen. I'm going to give you an example. Okay, these are the things that you should never, 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 never do on a first date, or places you should never, never go on a first date. You ready? Cheesecake Factory. Now, we don't have one here, but, you know. Cheesecake Factory is a nice place.
Yeah, what's wrong with Cheesecake? I love Cheesecake.
Medium expensive, right? I mean, it's not, you know, it's not Applebee's, but Applebee's is number two. Applebee's is number two. And Applebee's is it's not exotic, but, it's not Olive Garden. Of course, that's on the list also. And, you know, Olive Garden's not Chipotle, but that's on the list also. Do they just hate restaurants? And, you know, I mean, obviously, Chipotle's not, you know, like Buffalo Wild Wings, which is also on the list. And so, seriously, let me read you this list. This is amazing. This is the supposed list of never, never first date places. Cheesecake Factory, Applebee's, Chili's, Chipotle, Olive Garden, the movies. That's not a restaurant. That's movies. That's the movies. Okay, never go to the movies on a first date. Which, by the way, I recommend you don't go to the movies on the first date. And here's why. What are you doing? I mean... Yeah. A movie is one of the least interactive things ever, unless you know somebody really well, you know, and then, okay, but, you know, that's, movies is not you, you're not even looking at them, right? Y'all are watching some other thing. So, you know, do something where you're interactive, where you're engaged, where you're talking, right? So anyway, unless you're Lauren Boebert, you know, don't go to the movies. Anyway, sorry, I couldn't resist. Don't go to your house, which is, again, also not the name of a restaurant. That's like, don't go to your house. Any fast food chain, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wingstop, Red Lobster, A Buffet. It sort of, the pattern here seems to be don't go out to eat, which I actually think, you know, going out to eat is a, there's a reason that going out to eat is the universal first date, because it's an important human activity. It's something you're going to do an awful lot with somebody else if you wind up getting together with them. And it's highly interactive. You're facing them and talking. It's, find out, can you spend time with this person when your only activity is spending time with this person, right? So I'm not saying it's the ideal first. I'm just saying there's a lot positive to it as a date. Mm-hmm. As a date.
And how they treat the wait staff.
Right.
And yeah, that tells a lot about a person. So yeah.
Right.
And you get a lot of clues on that person.
There's a lot you can learn on a restaurant date. Let's see. IHOP, Denny's, the gym. The gym? That's a weird one, but okay. Church. I mean, I don't know. What? Starbucks. Actually, I think coffee shops are even better. Cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not spending, you're not investing in the person. And because it's just coffee, it's easier to leave if it's not working out. You're genuinely just hanging out and spending time with that person. Coffee date, which is another version of Starbucks. Ice cream date. Family function. Movie night at home. That's a double. That's a your house and the movies. I don't know why it's a separate one on the list. Somewhere that requires a long drive. Well, I mean, I suppose. You know, that's just sort of be strategic. You may find out 5 minutes in. Whoops. Bowling. I actually think bowling is a pretty good one because it's an activity you're both doing. You learn if people are, you know, you learn how they compete. You learn if they're comfortable. You learn if they know how to score. There's a lot of things about bowling that are actually pretty good as a first date. Going to a nightclub. Well, that's actually a good recommendation because what are you going to do? You're going to yell at each other all night over the music?
Well, that's a lot of people's inadvertent first date.
Right.
They're like, I met you at this club.
But, that was date zero.
And I'm not lying about this. Seriously, I'm not lying. My first date with my wife was I had to drive 3.5 hours from Nashville to Auburn, Alabama. And we went to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, nice.
That was our first date. Oh, so I broke two of those commandments.
No, hang on, because I have the same story for us. Okay. Let me finish the list here. A hookah bar. That's not a hooker bar. That's a hookah bar. I don't know. There is such a thing as a hooker bar. I don't want to know. That's getting together and smoke. And I'm probably, yeah, good idea. A bar for just drinks. So a bar for more than drinks is okay. I mean, it's a weird one. Waffle House. I love that Waffle House made the list as the don't go. But honestly, in the grand scheme, depending on who you are, Waffle House is kind of a good one because if you're like not a big spender or you're thrifty or you want to find out if somebody is prissy, you know, if you want to find out if they're high maintenance, like you got to spend a bunch of money on me or you don't get me. Okay, well, I don't get you. You know, that's fine. I'll move on to somebody who's happy, you know, eating, you know, under $10 a person or a sports event is another one. Anyway, so for us, what everybody looks at this list. I think this list was designed to be fodder, not designed to be serious. I think it was designed to make people be like, what? Okay, so like for us, our first date was at my house watching a movie, doing a jigsaw puzzle. That was our first date. And that turned out okay.
There you go.
Well, of course, when I told my wife, I read her this list, and I'm like, see, if only you hadn't made so many mistakes on our first date, then all of these years wouldn't have happened to you. So just... the question would be, you know, how many people that are married 25 years or more also agree that this is a list you should obey? And the answer there is probably going to be a number approaching zero.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.